we're talking about the Holy Bible here, and it's the book of blood, and it's a very bloody book. There's two different things there. A book of blood is a bloody book. You know, we are accused, I'm talking about the people in this movement, the grace movement, who believes that Christ was crucified, buried, raised again for your justification. And that's the only means of salvation, I'm going to tell you. That's it. You trust that fact. But we're accused of preaching a gospel of blood. So when somebody accuses you of preaching a gospel of blood, you say, yes, and I'm proud of it. Because I'm going to tell you, I've often heard that when I was a kid, that Jesus Christ died on the cross, and people were crying. Well, they had to kill him. They murdered him. They murdered the Messiah. You know, what a horrible death. Glory in the cross of Christ. Now, I'm telling you. Because if he didn't, you're going to bust hell wide open. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that. The only thing that gives any kind of life to our teaching, and the power to the Word of God, is the blood of Christ. Nothing else will work. That's power. That's why we say power in the blood. Believe me, that's a true fact. Gives life. We're going to see it. It's the only book that's alive. It's a living book. And the Scripture tells you that. We're going to see that shortly. It's able to impart life to those who will trust. You heard the word trust? Not just believe. Sometimes the word believe is used synonymous with trust. But some people can believe and be lost. If you don't trust what Christ did at Calvary, let me find it. In AD 33, then you're lost. You can believe all of this until hell freezes over. And you'll wind up in hell. You're called a lost believer, Brother Moore said. That's the first time I've ever heard that term. Never heard anybody else talk about it until then. And rarely do you ever hear anybody now. Oh, yes, I believe. What do you believe? You'll find out. They don't know what they believe. But we know blood trickled down. Blood trickled down. Blood trickled down all over the ground from Christ. But he did it for you. God did it for you. Like I said, the Bible claims it's a living book. How about going to Hebrews chapter 4? We're going to see. You know, all the Bible is for you, just not written unto you. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Can you hear me, Harry?
Good.
For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Well, the word quick in that verse translated is living or alive. Let's reread it. We're not going to harm it. For the Word of God is alive and powerful. For the Word of God is living and powerful. That's what it is. It's quick. It's a book, and it tells you that it's a living book. It's distinct from all other books. Absolutely. It contains something. What does this book contain? Blood circulating from chapter to verse. From Genesis through Revelation, there's blood circulating in this Bible. Why? The Bible plainly tells you life is in the blood. And we're going to go with that. I'm going to say it over and over. Life is in the blood. Now what we're going to do today, this is the first one of a series on blood. It's going to take a while to get these done. Because you can't just do it justice in 45 minutes. You just can't. The blood is too important. That's what redemption and atonement is all about. The blood of Christ. Nothing else. We're going to see a lot of things in this. Go to Leviticus if you would. Chapter 17. We're going to go to verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. It wasn't me that said it. God, I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your soul. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Now, he was talking to the children of the Hebrews and the Israelites, but I'm going to tell you something. That's applicable to us today. The only way a person is going to be saved or be atoned for is through the blood of Christ.
Amen.
See it? Go over to verse 14 out of there. Just follow along right on down. Remember, we've talked about this. When it talks about something, then it comes right back in two or three verses and says it again. For it is the life of all flesh. The blood of it is for the life thereof. I'm telling you. We're just a bloody mess. Thank God. Praise God that we are bloody. By the blood of Christ. Life is something that's very mysterious. Science hadn't even figured it out. They're trying. They're trying to create test tube babies and clones and everything else. But the thing of it is, life is so mysterious that science can't figure it out. They can't even fathom what it is. God said it's blood of the flesh. There can be no life without the blood. You're alive because you got blood circulating in your veins. I'm just looking so forward. I'm going to be jumping up and down in a minute. All flesh is the same. But we're only concerned about one thing today. That's human. Human blood, and particularly one man, the man Christ Jesus, who was and had the humanity of mankind. But he was God the Father manifest into the flesh. So he was both godly and he was also human. I want to talk to you a little bit about the blood, but it's the physiology. We're not going to say about, well, red cells, white cells, and plasma. That's not what I'm going to talk about. But see, in the blood, the human body itself, we all got tissues in our body. Bone-connected tissues, fat tissues. We've got muscle tissues, nerve tissues in our body. But the thing is with them, they're all fixed. You see my muscle? Well, I haven't got much of one, but there's a muscle somewhere under here. It's fixed. It's there. It doesn't move. But all these muscles in your whole body, they're fixed cells, cannot move. They are limited. And what they can do for you. Blood, unlike all the other tissues, it moves throughout the body. It's a tissue. Did you know it was a tissue? It's fluid and mobile. It's not limited to any one part of the body. We're talking our human blood now. Moves throughout all the body. What does it do this for? It goes through, takes that oxygen and supplies your blood with it through diffusing in your lungs, goes out and supports the energy that you need to live. And at the same time, it picks up waste products and delivers them out of the body. So blood has got a real purpose here now. You know, and it picks up what they call the ashes of cell activity, which we call metabolism. I take antioxidants, and probably the majority of the people in here do. Why? Because it's cell activity that needs to be gotten out of the body. It just helps to get it out. So we do that. But the normal body in here has got five pints of blood in it. Think if you had 5 quarts, I don't know what you would do. I'd be red all the time, I guess. But, you know, the blood, we're just talking about human blood right now, it circulates in your body probably about every 23 seconds. You wouldn't think 5 pints would circulate that fast with a little heart beating about 65 times a minute, squirting it out. But it does. Every cell in your body is constantly supplied. Constantly supplied and cleaned. But that blood that's running through your veins here, in arteries, what it does, it circulates and it goes to every cell in the body. And it communicates with that cell. It has to, or the cell's going to die. Life is in the blood. I'm telling you. If you have a part of your body, and you've seen people this way, that blood has failed to get to a certain part. Now, I don't know if it's diabetes that causes that, But I know a lot of people who lose their ankles, legs, and limbs from diabetes. But I know that's why when you get snap fit, people in the olden days used to put a tourniquet on it. Well, you had very far to go. Guess what? You were going to lose that limb because you cut the blood off. Life is in the blood. Those cells are going to die. I'm telling you all this so you get you to think. Then, you're not dead as a human being until your blood ceases to circulate. Because life is in the blood. But that's true of the physical body. But that points to something deeper. It's a big spiritual truth. Because we know, the body of Christ. Christ is the head of that body. Right? It's the church. And we're all members of that church. Go to Romans, if you will. Chapter 12. The church, the invisible, spiritual church of Jesus Christ is called the body of Christ. And of course, like I said, we're members of that. So we, being many, that's us members, it's saved. I'm talking about saved people. If you're lost in here today, you're not one of us. You're going to see more about that. Are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. And I think we need to pay more attention to that last statement. Members one of another. Jesus is the head, and all believers are members in that one body of Christ. We're all related, all the members in there, by the blood of Christ. Not your blood, but the blood. No, your blood doesn't save anything. But it's the blood of Christ that lets you become a member of the body of Christ. Because each member depends on the blood, and it's dependent upon life. I'm talking about the spiritual church now. Life and nourishment. You're here for nourishment. It's the body of Christ. You're listening to somebody who is preaching out of this, which is spiritual. You're here for nourishment, cleansing, and the growth into the body of Christ. And it all depends on the blood of the Lamb of God. Now, why is that true? Because life is in the blood. Humanly, we think life is in the blood. If it doesn't circulate, we're going to die. We discussed that. But life is in the blood right here. If you don't have the blood, dead. You may be walking around in a human body, but you're dead. And you're going to spend the rest of your life in condemnation in the lake of fire. An eternal life on a condemnation is forever. Just like us saved people, we have everlasting life. And we're with God and Jesus Christ in heaven. We're in Christ and Christ is in us. Wherever Christ is at, that's where we're at. Now, but see, these members that we're talking about physically kind of be separated, like this is a member of my body. My foot is a member. But we're separated. That's quite a distance. That's at least 6 foot. But they're still members of my body. Okay? I'll take Gilbert, for example. His teeth are white. His hair is black. In the same body. Those are members. It's just like nerves. You've got nerves that send impulses in the bottom of your feet to the top of your head. You can touch a spot on your toe and, gosh, that hurt right here. I don't know if you've ever done that, but you can. Skin is also a member. Skin is here for a protective covering. But they're still members. That's why we, as members of the body of Christ, we are different. We all got our own God-given talents and gifts. And He didn't give us all the same ones. Don't mean some of us are better than the others. We just have different gifts. The blood has to reach every member. And the only way it can reach you for salvation is by you trusting Jesus Christ and what he did at Calvary for you. No other way can you get the blood that you need. No other way. Now, a person in the body of Christ, spiritual, invisible, may be a white person, black, or yellow. Because there are not but three races on the face of the earth. There's a lot of different nationalities and spring offs, but there ain't but three. Well, that's another lesson. But see, like I said, we all vary in our gifts and talents from God. It's just like up in Alaska, for example, to give you an example of a physical dislocation of members, like this is not. But you can have an Eskimo up there who lives in Anchorage, Alaska, and you can have the Boers, which is a nomadic tribe in South Africa, and they all can still be in the same invisible spiritual body of Christ. I'll tell you something. Anybody in this whole wide world can be saved if they want to be. If you don't want to be, there's a conviction on you that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. You know, it's the blood of Jesus Christ. God cares not one thing about our man-made divisions and groups. He could care less. And we're all trying doing that. He's not interested in our self-righteousness, hair-splitting and religious man-made groups and organizations. No formulas. He wants us to recognize the unity of the body of Christ. And that's what I want to emphasize along with this blood is the unity of the body of Christ. You know, our business is not out there trying to build denominations and proselyting people from one religion to another. And there's people, that's what they do. Proselyting people to try to get them to come from this Baptist church to that Assembly of God and vice versa. It's all over the place. But we're sent out here to preach you must be created a new creature in Christ. We're sent out here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 16, I believe it is, that preach the word, preach the gospel. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 4, I believe is what it is preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove and rebuke with all long suffering and doctrine. That's what our job is. But you must tell people they must become new creatures in Christ out of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17. When you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will know you are a new creature in Christ. Something's different going to be about you. The blood has been applied to you. You've been washed in the blood. But not until you trust what Jesus Christ did on Calvary. Now you've got men and women out here who are more interested in getting members for their churches. Now ours is not like that. We tell people, we want people to come. But we don't just spend all of our waking hours trying to figure out, well, we're going to give you a $50 gift certificate to the person who brings the most people in this week. Oh, there's man-made ways to get people in the church. It's called tricks. You know, they're more interested in getting members for their churches than they are leading one person to Christ. Because I can't save anybody. I can tell you how to be saved, show you some scriptures, and let the Holy Spirit do the work. We plant, as Paul said, Apollos watered, and Christ gave it the increase. We don't do anything. We don't do anything. But what we need to do, we need to exalt our head. What I'm saying is our head of the church, Jesus Christ. Exalt him and to love one another in the church. If we got our differences, and we do, you're supposed to love one another as members of one another. Members of the body of Christ. Think about that. Do you love your neighbor in here as much as you should? Can you overlook his faults or her faults? You know, we're all different. And that's one thing that's pleasing unto the Lord. You know, you've got a lot of people out there defending their pet doctrines and their sectarian views, and they're getting ready to go to church, and they never lead a soul to Christ. I want you, in your own self, don't answer me. How many people have you tried to lead to Christ this last year, 2009? Hey, You may come up with zero. That's bad. You are an ambassador of Christ. You're supposed to witness to people. Why aren't you doing it? He spilled his blood for you. Shed it. It was a deliberate shedding of blood on God's part, trying to reconcile the world unto himself and not impute our trespasses unto us. That's what he did. Can you imagine the mercy God had on us? We're despicable human beings in sin. It was bad. But yet still, he loved us so much. He wanted to commune with us, and he can't commune with sinful people. Remember, life is in the blood, and we're going to talk a little bit more about it. The blood carries the sentence of death in human beings. Why? Because of Adam's sin. It's disobedience. It circulates in every person. White, black, I don't care what color. Jew, pagan, cultured, uncultured. Everybody has got tainted blood. If you're a son of Adam, and everybody in here is. You know, go to Romans 5:12 real quick. In Romans 5:12, all right, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, that's Adam, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Every one of you have sinned. Were you meant to, or you not? You did, by being born a son of Adam. Remember now, life is in the blood. And if a man must die, and he must, unless we're translated at the rapture, then we're going to be translated. We must all die. It's because of the poison in the blood, tainted blood. You know, when Adam and Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, their disobedience resulted in death. Death. Why? Go over to Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. He already told him in verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. We know by him eating and her eating of the whatever the tree of the knowledge and good and evil is, that it tainted the blood. In other words, blood poisoning occurred. Because we read by the scripture, we're all going to die. You know, I guess it gets me to see some of these TV programs occasionally. I don't hardly watch it anymore, but it's talking about some of these preachers on there. Well, you can do this and you won't die. Well, sure you're going to die. Unless the rapture takes place and you're translated. Blood is bad. It's tainted. Now, everybody born of Adam with the sinful blood that passed upon you, it's poison. It will kill you. And you will die. So, if you know this and it's the truth, why don't you claim Jesus Christ? Trust in what he did at Calvary. Trust in his blood. Be washed in the blood of a lamb. Why not? If you're this close, go over the edge and claim Christ. Trust Christ. Claiming is not doing a work. Sometimes me and Richard go back and forth on that. Trusting. It's nothing you do. It's what Jesus Christ did. What God did for you. If you would, go over to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. A man became a living soul. So the Bible just told us that God formed man out of the dust of the earth. Well, you know, Adam, before he breathed the life into him, was a chunk of clay. That's what it is. He was just dust molded in the form of a man, a figure like we have. Later, the light's just in the image of the Trinity. So, if that being the case, the second half of that again, let's read that. And breathe, that's God. And God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. The breath God put in him made him alive. So I know what it was. That something that he put into, he breathed into it, was blood. It has to be. It has to be blood. Why? Because life of the flesh is in the blood. Without the blood, he'd still be a hunk of clay. But it's blood that went into it. Blood. And man became a living soul. You can't live without the blood. So we know it's blood. Because you put it in. Breathe it into it. Now Adam's body, of course, dust, clay. Brother Moore used to say, red clay. Because of your complexion, you've got redness in your face. Candy does too. Well, that's true. But this blood was a gift of God to Adam. Remember, God is life, and God is the creator of all life. Not only human life, but all life. You know what? Mankind, through the disobedient one man there, Adam, when they eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, what happened there? He died. He died spiritually, right on the spot. And later on, he died physically. No doubt about it. Died physically. Now, sin affected the blood of Adam. Not his body. Everyone about that? It didn't affect his body. But only indirectly, because life is in the blood. So it will affect your body. But the body's not sinful. It's the blood that's sinful, not the body that you look at. You remember when Jesus Christ was raised from the dead and he met with those over in Luke? They said, look at a body of flesh and bone. Yes. No blood. The blood can't, you can't go to heaven, the kingdom of God. Blood, but you can go with flesh. There's nothing wrong with the flesh as long as it doesn't have blood in it. That's the problem. It affected him indirectly. So this tells me something. Sin is not in the flesh, but in the blood. Blood is a big deal from Adam to Jesus Christ. Now, we've heard this term, and we know it. Some people call this flesh sinful flesh. But you can't call it sinful flesh if it doesn't have the blood in it. That's what makes it sinful flesh. Why? It's nourished by the blood. It's fed by the blood. Sin is transmitted through the blood. And since God, I want to show you where this is, has made of one blood all nations, and that's Acts 17:26. Let's go there real quick. Acts 17:26. God did this. And it says, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell in the face of the earth. So we know there's only one blood. It's sinful blood. It's Adam's blood that's tainted. Now, the fact that sin is in the blood made it necessary for a virgin birth of Jesus Christ. If he was to be a son of Adam, he's called the second Adam in one place. But if he was to be a son of Adam and still a sinless man, he had to have a perfect Father. And that Father is Jesus, is God Almighty himself. So, but he had the flesh of humanity. But he was a son of Adam. See, Christ could partake of Adam's flesh because the flesh is not inherently sinful. It's that blood. Because that blood is impregnated with sin through and through. No doubt about it. God created a way by which Jesus Christ was born of a woman, not of man. There's a difference. Could be a perfect human being. How could that be? How could this take place? Because he was perfect, because he didn't have one drop of Adam's blood. He partook of Adam's flesh, but not his blood. Life is in the blood. You know, we talk about, this is just a little note here on this virgin birth. It's to prove that the sin is in the blood, because he has Adam's flesh. And the whole plan of redemption revolves around the blood. The blood, the blood, the blood. Life is in the blood. Sin is in the blood. It must be atoned for. See, God had humanity. And he had to have humanity to atone for us who are human. He had to be perfect. Had to be perfect. Now what we can do, we'll do a little bit of it. We can trace this throughout the scriptures, this line of blood. And I said it was a bloody Bible. So we can trace some of this. Now, the first mention of blood in the entire Bible is in Genesis chapter 4. Let's go over there and look at it. Verse 10. Cain had just slew Abel. And he said, God, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Blood. First mention of blood. Genesis 4:10. But in Genesis 3, the blood, while it's not mentioned by name, it's inferred here in Genesis chapter 3. If you'll look back over here, let me see if I can find that real quick, because I don't have a reference of it. Let's go to verse 6. Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. This is after the subtlety of the devil and she'd done eat it. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, that they knew that they were naked. See, they were in the age of innocence. Now they're in the age of conscience. They know they were naked. And listen, and they sewed thick leaves together and made themselves apron. And God, they tried to run and hide in the wilderness there in Eden, but they couldn't. Now, with that in mind, Adam and Eve tried to hide their shame. They knew they had, quote, sinned through the disobedience. They tried to hide their sin and shame by putting an apron on made out of fig leaves. And that's what we've all been trying to do ever since you've been born. You try the works of your hands to get atoned for. It won't work. It's got to be the blood. They tried that, and it did not work. So, there was a provision put in there. Go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. Unto Adam also, and unto his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skin, and he clothed them. This is the first record of sacrifice. First record of sacrifice. And we got the whole story here. It's not a complicated thing. There's three things about this. This act of God. And that's what it was. It was an act of God. That was a preview of a whole plan of redemption for us. Just look at the three things. Adam's sin was called for by God's intervention. God had to intervene because now he was sinful. It must be God's works, not man's works, as they tried to cover up their shame. God made them coats of skins. You got to remember, salvation is of the Lord, not of you, not of Adam, not of Eve, of you. And salvation must be by the death of an innocent substitute. They didn't have an innocent substitute. They had figures. So God took an innocent substitute and made coats. That meant he had to kill that animal and sacrifice that animal. You ever heard that song, Mary Had a Little Lamb? That's probably what it was. A little lamb got his throat cut by God. This is a bloody book. It's a very bloody book. Somebody had to die, and it was that little animal. Somebody had to die to provide that covering made out of skins that God made for those people. Those two. And then thirdly, this plan of redemption, it must be by the shedding of blood. Shedding of blood. The animal must be killed to give its skin up. You know, this happens in when people were living out in the wilderness and so forth. You kill animals for what? Protection. Well, I'm telling you, when you sacrifice an innocent animal, that is for your protection. From protection from everlasting condemnation. But it wasn't an animal in our case. It was Jesus Christ. This was his plan of redemption from the Genesis until we got to, and we're going to trace it down just a little bit. It's the blood that makes an atonement for the soul. And we all know, we hope we all know, that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Well, that said, all this blood could just bleed out, and it did. And then that centurion soldier stuck that sword in Christ's side and watered blood. And I showed that he was dead, it had mixed. But you can believe all of this all you want. It's that fact. Sin is not your problem anymore because Jesus Christ shed his blood for you. The perfect ransoming substitute, the sacrifice, give his life and his blood for you. It's a bloody Bible. It's a bloody book. There's blood from Genesis through Revelation. It's blood, it's blood, it's blood. So now, there's blood from the first page. It's just like somebody took this red line and run all the way through the Bible on every page. You know, blood is mentioned 447 times in this Bible. That's a lot. That's a lot. But it's not within 375 verses. But blood. Now, if you would, go down to Genesis chapter 4. I don't have the exact scriptures on this, but I'm going to just talk about it. Cain and Abel, they each had a sacrifice. Abel's was accepted. Cain's wasn't. Why? Because it wasn't of blood. And you know, Adam knew that God covered him with animal skins. God sacrificed the first animal. Them boys, it wasn't their first rodeo. That wasn't their first time of sacrificing. I believe that Cain, he had animals. Maybe he had a bad week. Maybe he had a bad year. No, that wasn't it. His hands, he wanted to do something to help the Lord save him. Actually, he wanted something better than his brother Abel had. And he thought he would impress God with it. Well, he didn't impress God. It's just like mankind today. We've got people out here that will give you the shirt off of their back, donate half of their bank accounts, buy this, buy that, help the Haiti relief and all kind of things. And they want to repent and be baptized for remission of their sins. Because they've been told that Acts 2:38 is addressed to them. People, you need to learn how to rightly divide the word of truth. This whole Bible is written for you, but it's not all written unto you. Romans through Philemon is written to you. We first need to establish, as Bob and I was talking about, that Paul is your partner. Paul wrote 13 books of this Bible. Peter wrote 2. My gosh, even simple mathematician can figure that out. Now, well, so we see that Cain presented no blood while Abel did. In Genesis 9, you ain't got to go there. If you want to, that's fine. And matter of fact, let's just do it. Genesis 9, verse 20. I'm sorry. I may have it wrong. It's Genesis 8, what it is. I have my reference wrong. Genesis 8, verse 20. And this is after the flood. And Noah built an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. That was a sacrifice. And then he made a covenant with Noah. In Genesis chapter 22, you remember when Abraham was going to sacrifice his son Isaac. Abraham being a type of God and Isaac being a type of Christ. And they went up to the mountain there. And Isaac didn't know where the lamb was. And his daddy said, God will provide a sacrifice. He was fixing to butcher him, cut his throat. Had the knife up. Okay? And the angel of the Lord said, no, stop. Don't harm the lamb. So, in Genesis 22, you can go over and read it if you want. Abraham uses that ram that was caught out there in the bushes. Provided. God provided a sacrifice. And I know, and it didn't say this, but I know God is perfect. And I know that that ram was a perfect sacrifice. Unblemished whatsoever. Or it wouldn't have been provided by God. Now, we can trace this in Leviticus. In Exodus. You remember, I'm not going to go over it, but in Exodus, remember, put the blood on the doorpost and over the top for you. The angel of death will pass over you. It's called the Feast of Passover. It started in Exodus when the people were coming out of Egypt. They were slaves and servants of the Egyptians, the Israelites were. Now, so that's the Passover. That was blood. You had to take and sacrifice an animal, a specific animal, and then take the blood, put it in a basin. Had to be put in a basin. Put blood like a paintbrush all over there. And the angel of death would pass over that household, the whole house. Now, so you still see the blood in Leviticus. That's where you have all the tabernacle sacrifices. Sacrifice. If you want to just get in there and just read, you're going to see blood, 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 blood. It's everywhere. Goodness gracious, there's a lot of blood in there. But you know, we can follow this line by going to those different scriptures until we trace it to its source. And we see right here, God manifest in the flesh. That's its source, Jesus Christ. And that's where it ended. It ended there for us. We're in the daily others. We're but a picture. I'm talking about in Leviticus and Exodus and Genesis and so forth. All these sacrifices and the blood was but a picture and a type of what's to come. And that was what was to come. This is perfect. First, it was God's own gift to us. We didn't deserve it. We're saved by unmerited favor. Grace. What a deal. This time in the whole, ever since the universe has been created, to be living. Because we've got someone who took our sins away. He atoned for us. And he died in our place. That's the biggie. You deserve going because of your inherited sinful blood from your great-granddaddy Adam. And the sins that you want to commit, and you do commit, you're looking at a saved sinful man. I'm saved spiritually. Physically, I'm going to sin. And I thought maybe one day I'd stop. And I will. Why? When I die, it's going to cease. I will sin no longer. Blood won't circulate in me any longer. Because life is in the blood. But I've got tainted blood. But thank God His provision for the body of Christ, the church for today, not the church at Jerusalem. As Herbert W. Armstrong says, the church at Jerusalem. One true church. Well, that's a falsehood. Turn him off. Well, he's dead now. But the last thing that happened here was the shedding blood. God's blood. So it was a gift. He died in your place, and it was the shedding of his own blood. You know, there is no other way to be saved. It's utter uselessness to try to go out and try to work yourself into salvation. You can't do anything. If there was one thing that you could do to help the Lord save you, then Jesus Christ died in vain. If there was just one little thing that Richard there could do, or Briggs could do, I didn't forget your name, then Jesus died in vain. But he didn't. Because he saved me. The Holy Spirit put on me just how bad of a sinful individual that I really am. I didn't say was, I said am. And then that same Holy Spirit that convicts you that you are a sinner, he comes back after you have trusted his Son and what he did at Calvary for you, and convicts you that you are a saved individual in the body of Christ, and you're sealed until the day of redemption. I see people all the time that try to tell me, well, I believe all that, but I have to pray every night and ask for forgiveness. No, you never trusted Jesus Christ. That's what your problem is. Well, I got to. No, you don't. You mean to tell me you don't believe the Bible when it says you're sealed until the day of redemption? Jesus Christ purchased you. No, I don't believe that part, but you'll have people that pick and choose what they want to believe about the Bible. And that's why we people call us hyper-dispensationalists. That's why people call us a cult. I've got a lady in Op that her son finally came up. He lives over about 4 miles on the side of me, and he came up one night. He'd been telling his mother, you shouldn't be going over there. That's a cult. Ain't no telling what they're getting you into. So he came up one night, and he changed his mind. All we do is preach Jesus Christ crucified. Is that a cult? But I'm in one. But we're not. Remember, it's the blood that makes an atonement for the soul. How about going to Hebrews 9? We're about through. Hebrews 9, verse 22. I want to start reading after the semicolon. And without shedding of blood is no remission. Now, either you believe what God has said in this book, written by the Holy Spirit, or you don't. I'm not talking about believing 99% of it. You believe it all. All of it. I was telling, I don't know, it might have been Bob, but if someone in here this morning, I was saying, you know, I'm reading a book by an individual, and I'm not going to tell you his name, but when I got to the point that he said the correct translation should be, then I closed the book. Now, you can learn something from some of those people, but you better have yourself grounded in the Word before you start reading some of it, because you can be led astray. Don't think you can't be. But if you're saved, you're saved until the day of redemption and you're sealed. I'd hate to see anybody in here run off and start believing in Islam. But if you're once saved, always saved, you can be saved and still get disoriented, have Alzheimer's, have this, have that, lose your way, be convinced by some charlatan somewhere in another church, start trying to pray people out of the grave and laying hands on people in hospitals. You can start all of that once you're saved. But why would you? It won't do you any good. It doesn't work. But what I'm saying is, you're sealed. No matter what you do, how evil, how despicable, how bad, the heart is just evil continually. Your mind. I mean, we don't even have to try. Stuff just jumps in our brain. Lust. It's usually the flesh. You can't help it. You can try, but you can't help it. The only way you can do it is to drain your body of the tainted blood, and then your flesh will cease to exist because that's where it gets its nourishment. And you won't have any sin in there anymore. You may be going to hell if you haven't trusted Jesus Christ. Now, I believe that you got to get lost before you can get saved. You've got to know that you need a Savior. Why else would you trust Christ? If you think you're righteous enough by yourself, by doing good things and for the church and helping society, and it's like some of these secret organizations out here, the Masons, Shriners, they do great things. Burn centers, they do great things for people. They believe in the wrong thing. You must first learn something, guys, that you can't save yourselves. Now, I'm going to summarize this with this. If is a biggie, if there's someone in here who has never trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, I'm talking about the kind of trust that you can lay down at night and know if you died, not that you want to die, but if you died, you know where you're going. Right up where you're going.
Up.
Now there's other people going down. So, he knows this. Why? Because the perfect book told him so. He believes every word of it. I ain't asked him that, but I know that. If you don't believe every word in here, you got a problem. But if you've never trusted Jesus Christ, you don't have that love in your heart. You don't have that joy in your heart. And you really don't have any peace. Because you're wondering if you're going to drop off in hell. I wondered that. I was sweating bullets. I believed all of this. But I didn't trust it. And I, one day in 1986, in my house, when I woke up, got up, I'd been listening to Brother Moore for 2 years, trying to prove him wrong. I actually saw the truth. It was through his ministry. I saw, I'm a vile sinner. Bob is too. So is my wife. We're sinners. I needed a Savior, and I got one. Right here at Calvary in AD 33, that blood right there atoned for me. But see, you can believe a lot of things, but if you don't trust that, it's not on your account. It's not your sins that's going to send you to hell any longer. They've been atoned for. It's your unbelief that's going to send you straight to hell. So why not today, pleading with you, trust Christ. You ain't got to tell anybody, but I guarantee you, you'll want to tell somebody. You can't stand it. You're going to be jumping up and down. You're so excited. It's great. So y'all looking at me like, hurry up and finish, I'm starving. But that's true. I want to leave you with that. Trust Jesus Christ. I can't do it for you. Your husband can't do it for you. Your wife can't do it for you. Neither one of those can lead you to the trial, which is this. But they can't do it for you. That's all I got for you today.